special day that we celebrate every year. We celebrate the risen Christ. Lord, Bibles, please turn to Luke 24 and 34. On the Thursday of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had made and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man was to be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they all told these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others of them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "Why are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still. Their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," he replied. "He was a prophet, outpouring word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to him. He was sent to death and they crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of the companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish are you, and how slow to heart to believe all that prophets have spoken? Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But he urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. When their eyes opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight, they asked each other, "Weren't our hearts burning with us while he talked to us and wrote open the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 with those who were there, assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen," and surprised Simon. Then the two were told what happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is a special day we celebrate every year, celebrate the risen Christ. The resurrection of Christ, as we know, is the foundation of Christian faith. And without the resurrection, the belief in God's grace through Jesus doesn't exist. When Jesus rose from the dead, he confirmed that he is the Son of God and his work of atonement, redemption, and salvation. As we read the resurrection, was real physical raising of Jesus' body from the dead. There are conspiracy theorists, even today, who affirm the resurrection. Let's look at the facts. The resurrection. One, they believe that the disciples stole the body to prove that Jesus was the risen. How did this happen? For starts, they were guarded, which means that if they attempt to move a body, they'd be killed. Because the guards would be killed themselves if they'd actually let this happen. So that can be disproved straight away. He wasn't dead, he swooned, he fainted. How can you think? He was in a fury, he was tortured. He was carried across from Jerusalem. He was exhausted, he'd been beaten almost to death. And then put across a sword, a spear put at the side. How could that be a possible swooned sweat? He couldn't have just fainted. Three, he wasn't dead but injured. A man just said, one thing that Romans didn't know was how to crucify them, how to kill people. That man was dead on the cross. They made sure he was dead. And they wouldn't let him know he was dead. The tomb was empty. Where had he gone? Like I say, these are all just facts that I've put before. I just thought, I don't need any of them, but there you are. Right. I was supposed to speak on the 7th of April. Wasn't able to. And Steve gave me the reason why I speak in front of you this morning on the resurrection. I came to the Lord quite late in life, I was 47. And I love the Lord so much. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 that Jesus died and was raised from the dead. He also said that over 500 people saw him, which he wrote approximately 20 years after Jesus' death. 500 people! How can that be disputed? Salvation, as we know, is not possible without the resurrection. It enables the remaining steps in God's plan to save us from eternal damnation. Hell, in other words. There are conflicting reports as to the site where Jesus was laid, the garden tomb of the Holy Sepulchre. Maybe both. But biblically, it says it was outside the city walls, which is the Sepulchre isn't. Also, Jesus died in the first century, and the Sepulchre was built by Constantine for his queen Helena in 326 AD. I visited the garden tomb. It's in the tomb room. I cried. The room probably just broke down. 3 years we've done this, they just leave it. And I felt we've done it for us. He said to me, he died, and all the death of us, to the very sins. And I wept uncontrollably. I just couldn't stop. It's so emotional. It fits perfectly to the garden tomb with a biblical description. A tomb outside the city in Golgotha, place of the skull. The tomb was discovered in 1867 by General Charles Gordon, who visited Jerusalem in 1883. I walked down also on the Via Dolorosa. It's in the city of Jerusalem, it's the city of Sol. It is actually where we carried across. Again, I just wept and trying to draw this, but it's actually dreadful. Really was. It was a bit emotional. There are 14 stations along the route, which different points. Stations called there's 14 stations there. Number one is where Jesus was condemned to death. Number two, he is made to bear the cross. Station three. He falls for the first time. Number four is where he meets his mother. That number four, where he meets his mother. And she can't let him beat so badly. I just can't imagine. She's broke down, she's beaten so badly, she needs to go to sleep. I just can't imagine. Number five, Simon Cyrene is made to carry the cross. If you stumble, you're going to lift the cross. Station six, Veronica wipes his face with the way to the veil. Seven, he falls for the second time. Eight, the women of Jerusalem weep over Jesus. Nine, he falls for the third time. Ten, he is stripped of his garments. 11, nailed to the cross. 12, he died on the cross. 13, he is taken down. 14. He is placed in the garden for some. So, right. Paul wrote to Corinthians 1:13. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:1-19. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, although some fall asleep, fallen away. He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, as to one after the Lord. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. I worked hard on all them, yet not I, but the grace of God was with me. Whether then was I or they, this is what we preach, this is what we believe. Paul wrote to Corinthians, I just read, 1:15, that their faith was in vain if Christ was not raised. Also, all men would be pitied if it was not true. When Jesus was raised, he had the authority from God, and he claimed his resurrection was evidence to his right to rule over all. Paul preached this glorious message in Athens, in Acts. Says, after his suffering, he showed himself unto those men and gave them many convincing proofs of his life. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Because Jesus has been raised, there is no condemnation for those who just respond to his call. Romans 8:1. What Christ said concerning the importance of who he was and his coming demands a response. John 3:38. He claimed himself God, a clear indication of blasphemy against the Sanhedrin and certain death. We hear of people coming to Christ through revelation in their lives. In Texas, in the Texan map, called Danny. He was with his girlfriend, also with his girlfriend, watching the Passion of Christ. Overcome by what he saw, he went from the cinema to the police station and confessed the murder of his pregnant girlfriend. He killed her, got away with it. What he'd actually done, he killed her, she was pregnant, made a suicide note, made up that she committed suicide. And she believed he actually got away with it. The case was closed. But, says here, he confessed to the murder of his pregnant girlfriend. He told police he strangled her because he did not want the child, she was dying. He forced her not to make her a little bit suicide. But having seen the film, he was filled with remorse and confessed, convicted. He walked into the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Court and turned himself in. Case was closed. Her death was suicide. It was no murder. When he came, he was very cooperative and gave us details of his family. The things he had done, nobody else would have known, as information was not common knowledge. He got away with it. Also, a former ISIS leader had left ISIS. A former coordinator was asked to meet him to ask why. Despite his reservations, coordinator Peter met him. Mohammed, as we call it, wanted to find proof that Allah exists and is not. I found nothing, he said. I don't believe anymore, he said. But he met Peter with the intention of killing him. Peter shared the message of Christ again. The second time they met, he told Peter in a dream he saw an emerald dripping with blood with a great fragrance. Peter said, God will send you a message. You need to give your life to him. I'll accept it. I'll tell you what this Jesus is saying here. There's a first century non-Christian historian, Flavius. Flavius took us, 3700 AD. Admitted that a man called Jesus existed, drew a crowd. People listened to his teachings, but he was killed by crucifixion under the governor Pontius Pilate, at the request of the Sanhedrin. This is coming from a source with no theological axe to grind, a non-believer. They often why it was called Good Friday. My Lord was beaten, spat on, tortured, and hung on a cross to die a life of death. Suffocated because he couldn't lift himself up to breathe. Some said the day is good, in fact it's holy, without the phrase corruption of God's Friday. The Oxford Dictionary states that good in this context refers to a day or season observed as holy by the church. Jesus was approximately 5'11", approximately 85 miles of total, of course. And the cross was again, roughly, 150 kilograms, twice his weight. An 8-foot cross and 15 foot long. I walked, as I mentioned, I walked the Via Dolorosa. I know how long it is. And I can't imagine being beaten, an accident, torture, and a kindness cross, twice the size, twice the weight of the full length of the Via Dolorosa. It's just how we did it. I also stood in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is taken from the Aramaic meaning oil press, where his sweat was like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke 22:24. And again, I cried, I couldn't stop. I just couldn't stop. People are going to be mad, but I just couldn't stop. I urge you to visit your son. His son alive. Visual, really was good. Visual life, really does. We will this morning celebrate the resurrection and we beat death and rose again. Jesus was seen by over 500 people. Was it massive, isn't it? Syria? Or did they all see Jesus and risen Lord? The latter, of course. The Gospel of Luke describes an encounter with Jesus on the road to Emmaus. With rumors of the empty tomb still spreading, after visiting them and teaching, reveals himself, Jesus reveals himself in a beautiful scene. He's at the table with them. He took bread and gave thanks. Broke the bread and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Can you imagine that delight? Then disappeared from sight. We're not in our hearts burning within us when they talk to us on the road and open the scriptures to us. But to me, the most moving of this thinking was to be dead. And as we said, he denied him 3 times. He denied hearing. No doubt he was fearful, but Jesus loved him. And so they had him. Feed my sheep. In other words, to tend to provide spiritual food for God's people. The impact of Christ's death on the cross is overwhelming. Just thinking about the perfect Son of God appeased the wrath of God by taking the entire punishment of sins. Incredible. He did this to redeem his enemies. 5:8-10. When Jesus said those words, it was finished. The penalty for your sins and mine were paid. And God's wrath was appeased. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Grave was empty. He had beaten death. In 1 Corinthians, Paul states the amazing truth about the resurrection. Its emphasis, an essential element of the gospel message. During Jesus' lifetime, the holy temple was at the center of Jewish religious life, where animal sacrifices were carried out. Hebrews 9:1-9:6, in the temple, a veil appearing, separated by the Holy of Holies, beautifully dwelling place of God's presence. It was from the temple, where men dwelt. This signified that man was separated from God by sin, God had upon sin. Only the high priest was allowed once a year to pass beyond this. When Jesus cried out, it's finished. The curtain was torn in two. Matthew 27:15. Allowing Jew and Gentile, non-Jew in other words, to enter the temple. In a sense, the veil was symbolic of Christ himself, as the only way to the Father, through the Lord, Jesus, in other way. So we could celebrate what Jesus did on that day, crucified for our sins and beat death, raised from the dead. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs he was still alive, and spoke of the kingdom of God. While they were breaking bread, he said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, that John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be witnesses in all Judea and Samaria, a joyous day." Please do bow our heads and put a small prayer to bed. Dear God, thank you that you make all things new, that you make all things new. Thank you for the victory and the power in your name. Thank you for the holy keys over death, that by your might Jesus was raised from the dead, paving the way for us to have new life in you. We confess our need for you fresh and new again. We ask that you renew our hearts, minds, lives for the day ahead of us. We pray for your refreshing over us. Keep your words of truth planted within us to help us to focus on what is pure. Give us the power to be obedient to your word. We ask that your voice speaks louder and makes us safe with you, that your purposes will not fail. Amen.